Would you pray with me? Holy God, may the words of your scriptures that we've just heard be for us the truth, the call to live our lives in faithfulness, to follow your ways and not the ways of the world. May they give us courage to be your followers. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. A number of years ago, I told you the story of a prosperous young investment banker who was driving a brand new BMW sedan on a mountain road during a snowstorm. He veered around a sharp turn and he lost control and began sliding off the road toward a steep cliff. The last minute, he unbuckled his seatbelt, flung open the door, and leaped from the car, which then plummeted to the bottom of the ravine and burst into flames. Although he had escaped with his life, the man suffered a ghastly injury. Somehow his arm had been caught in the hinge of the door, and when he jumped, it had been torn off the shoulder. A passing trucker saw this accident and immediately brought his rig to a halt and ran back to see if he could help. When he arrived at the scene, he found the banker standing at the roadside looking down at the BMW burning in the ravine below. And incredibly, the banker was oblivious to his injury. And he was moaning, "My BMW, my new BMW." And the trucker pointed to his shoulder and says, Buddy, you got a bigger problem in your car. We got to go find your arm. Maybe the surgeons can sew it back on." The banker looked at it where his arm had been and paused a moment and then groaned, "Oh no, my Rolex, my new Rolex." The man had lost all sense of priorities in his life. And in our passage from Luke today, Jesus is talking about priorities and perhaps our need to rearrange ours. But we have to begin with the obvious with this passage, the so-called elephant in the room. This is not an easy passage to listen to. In fact, Jesus seems to take leave of his senses. Or to put it another way, he sounds downright cranky. Did he wake up on the wrong side of the bed? Did he not get any sleep the night before? The way he's talking back at these people who want to join him but want to say goodbye to somebody. There's no room for bargaining in the words of Christ. Let the dead bury their own dead. How cold does that sound? That does not have a ring of compassion to it. How does this passage deal with family values that we hear so much about today? Family values, the buzzword that talks about placing spouse and children and extended family before all else. Although I must admit that many of those who seem to talk the loudest about family values seem to have the most problems with them. It might help us, though, to look at what Jesus has to say about family values. Jesus said that his mission will divide families, setting children against parents, parents against children, and he was right with that. In Luke 8, Jesus is presented as turning away his mother and brothers with a retort, My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Sarah Brewer, the writer of lectionary blog, Dylan's blog, said this about that. "I think it's clear that Jesus meant this: call no one on earth father and follow me and let the dead bury their dead stuff pretty literally. A good test of whether this is so would be to take a look at the canonical gospels and see whether they could find a single instance of Jesus suggesting that those he called needed their earthly father's permission or blessing to do anything, including abandoning fields or fish nets, as well as family to follow him. Indeed, when someone called by Jesus asked to go back only to say goodbye to his family, Jesus says, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. I think a big part of the problem with our understanding of this and living of this is that we feel that we live in an age of scarcity and abundance. What I mean by that is that if we make God our father, mother, our priority, then we start shortchanging our family. Blair Moffat, the minister who was a part of a group that I was a part of a long time ago, once said, "We live under the assumption that if we make one thing a priority over another, that the other loses out. We feel that if we put God first, then we would have God and nothing else. The reality, though, is that if we put God first, then it will enhance our earthly life." The late Dr. Fred Craddock once said, "Those who put God first over the best things in their life have been freed from possession and worship of family and have found the distance necessary to love them." The truth is that when we put family or work first, we do them a great disservice. We tend to overlook the imperfections. We exploit them. A perfect illustration is that of an NFL football coach. The coach, when coaching on a college level, had a wife and the appearance of a marriage because it was expected of college football coaches. The wife and family was needed for social occasions. The day he was named head coach of a major NFL team, he set about to rid himself of this excess baggage. He threw her away like yesterday's newspaper. He didn't need her anymore, and he didn't lose any time in losing her. He confessed that he never bought his boys birthday or Christmas presents. He just didn't have the time, and they weren't a priority. So he single-mindedly threw himself into his football team, and the team did make it to the top. They won the Super Bowl. So what's he going to do next year? And the next. And the next. And the next. He won a Super Bowl, but he lost so much more. Had he placed priority in God, he would have been a better husband and father because he would have put God first. We hear God's call because when we put God first, we first hear God's call for justice, love, and compassion. And we do right by other people. The worship of God calls us to put the world, our lives, in proper perspective. And thus, from this objective point of view, we can be truly free to love everyone and not just our biological family. But we can love and respect our earthly family. We love first best by loving God first. Paul speaks of freedom in Christ, and this means that only in God can we go back to our grieving, our families, our work obligations, our financial obligations, our community issues, in a way that we won't devour each other. So many community issues today are the result of one group putting their needs over the others. Some time ago, the St. Margaret Mary Catholic Church on Staten Island sold their empty school to a local Islamic group for a mosque. The sale, once it became known, caused violent outbursts among local residents opposed to the sale. They cited traffic issues, but the real issue became evident when at a community meeting, a soldier recently back from Iraq got up and basically asked the Muslims there if they would work for the good of the community, to which they responded, yes. And then he asked the non-Muslim people in attendance if they would work for the good of the community, to which they responded with a loud no. If you think about it, last Sunday, over the past few years, we've experienced the explosion of mass killings and gun sales because of fear. When we put ourselves and our families first, rather than God, we cannot feel secure. We cannot have the strength to love others. And we become frightened and we do the kinds of these kinds of things in order to protect those that we hold highest in priority. And we forget that by doing so, we've broken our faith, our covenant with God. By not putting God first, we let the fear take over. Take over our lives. And we lose our sense of justice and compassion. That's the kind of stuff that happens when we don't put God first. Do you think Jesus could have or would have gone to the cross if he had put his earthly family first? I don't think so. Real family values begin with our reorganizing our priorities so that God in Christ has our utmost attention. That's the only way we can be a child of God, by placing our heavenly parent over our earthly family. It's not easy to do, but it is what we must work hard to achieve in our lives. It's not about BMWs and Rolexes. It is about God. God, who is the Father and Mother of us all. Amen.